Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, I bet you guys all forgot. I bet you guys thought that I had forgotten. Nope, not quite. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am here for your enjoyment as I, the icon himself, opening the doors to the FRL headquarters as we welcome you to another edition of the Talking Tuesday segment here. So let's see what's going on. Hopefully everyone's doing well on this fine 2nd of March, 2020, which we are now only a few days from my birthday, which I'm going to try to not to remember that, but everyone else around me, trust me, is reminding me. Anywho, I am here for you guys. Let's see. So what I wanted to do, first of all, I wanted to recap for those of you guys who have missed the special presentation on Saturday, where my son was a guest on the headquarters, where we announced the first inductions into the Jazz and Sons Dream Masters and Women Warrior Wrestling Icon Hall of Fame. And of course, those people are Batgirl, The Horror Connection, Bruce Lee, and Ozone, as well as Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin. So we had a few different icons going in there. We have big Hall of Famers, and congratulations goes to them. And as for the others who didn't get to come, who didn't get inducted this year, I'm sure in time they will be. As you heard my son say, someday maybe he will be in the Hall of Fame, but he himself knows he's got a long ways to go. So anywho, I hope you guys are doing well. Like I said, the week's just begun. I hope you guys are all doing well. I moved the time up till 7:30 due to the fact that I was cooking dinner tonight, and it was an experiment of excellence, I have to say. You know, as you get older in life, you take on more and more roles. And it's amazing when you think back of the times you were when you were younger and you looked back at all of the foods you started learning how to cook. I mean, I don't know how long you guys started learning how to cook, but I myself was cooking at 6, 7 years old. And at 9, I was in charge of cooking all the meals for my brothers and my sister and I, as my parents decided that, you know, they didn't want to do that anymore, so I took that role for my brothers and my sister and I to cook. And I remember, you know, the trials and tribulations of my culinary early days, and I'm amazed how far they've come. But I think that also shows you, with a little bit of time and energy and skill, eventually, you know, things even out. You know, when you're 6 years old and you're learning how to make spaghetti. Spaghetti, to this day, and pasta in general, is still one of my favorite go-tos because it's quick and easy. It's something I know very well. And I know many various different ways to spin it and whatnot, as it is kind of my thing, which is awesome. But pasta is one of my go-to easy, quick meals that I can cook. You don't really need too much to that. As a picky eater back in the 80s, because I was that picky eater back in the 80s myself, you know, some spaghetti and a little bit of butter, and that's all you really needed for me. Of course, there are others who, as I got older, much like most people do, I grew out of that, thankfully, and I tried now everything. Olive Garden sees me coming on the all-you-can-eat pasta bowl thing, and they close the door and lock and hide in the kitchen. Unfortunately, it doesn't work because my kids and my wife need their breadsticks, so they don't escape that wrath. Anywho, this is what's been happening, hell. Huh? And whatnot. So that's how that works there. But, you know, it was, as my time gets older, as we're looking back, you know, talking about the, you know, the birthday thing. When someone gets older, they always reflect back upon their lives. Some people don't. Some people can't remember their past. Some people choose not to. And a lot of people will remember, you know, the good and the bad and whatever. I am very fortunate that I, well, fortunate and unfortunate. I have a very ironclad memory. My long-term memory is fantastic. It's my short-term memory that is not the best. So in other words, what that means is I remember instances, people, places, and things. But if you tell me a number or something like that, forget about it. It's never going to happen. So, but that comes from years of taking, you know, chair shots and being involved with sports, being involved with contact sports and multiple blows to the head. I believe that's what that comes from. But the long-term memory, there's no change in that. There's no shutting all that off. I still remember very much everything very vividly as if it was yesterday. So as I look back at 41 years almost coming up on March 23rd, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go back and do little things. Later on this week on Throwback Thursday, we're going to do something fun where I am going to set my life soundtrack together. So what that means is music is a huge part of my life anyway. I think music's helped me get through a lot of different times in my life. And music's also kind of like movies where there's always that specific song that is tied to some significance in my life. Because I remember a few different times there would be a song on the radio that would be very very poignant in highlighting a different time period. For example, when I lost my first son, when my girlfriend was attacked, when my girlfriend took her life my first time around, when my friend Jeremy was shot at the Halloween party. I remember the song that was on the radio back then. Then also I remember the song that was on the radio a lot when the F4L was starting to become a thing. And I remember, you know, various things like that. Of course, you know, there's always a song associated with something. Of course, there's my entrance music and wrestling. There's the sports music. And, you know, sometimes there's songs that help me get out of bed. And there was this time period where there was a certain different songs that would help me get out of the bed in the morning due to either depression or soreness, exhaustion. And on Thursday, we're going to examine some of those music things and some of those, some of my, you know, my life basically set to music. So we'll talk about the 41 songs, basically tell a story about my life in some way. And we're going to look back at the soundtrack just because I wanted to make sure it's something, you know, special. What I thought I would do is to make it different. Is I printed out the Billboard Top 14 of each year from birth until 2000. And then I have to figure out what's going to happen next. But, you know, I'm going to look at one of those things. What I'm going to do is going to choose one of those songs to represent. Because most likely one of those songs has been part of whatever that was going on in my life at that time. Of course, there are other songs that will be more poignant for different points that maybe not took place in that time. For example, in 2007 at the birth of, you know, Jazz Fitness, that would be I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, which came out years before that year. But also when my introduction to YouTube way back in the day was credited to Eye of the Tiger, and that was going to be in 2008. Yeah, man, memories. So, yeah, good days. Anywho, that was my time coming on YouTube. I've been associated with for a little while before that. But anyway, here we go. But, yeah, that's coming up on the 3rd. Unfortunately, we didn't get anybody to come in today, which is fine. And, it's early yet anyway. It's 1:37. We're into an hour and 37. We got a few more. A little bit more time left, so you never know. Someone might call in. You never know. They don't. Oh, well. You get to listen to me. If not, hey. So, you know, there's an old saying about March. It's goes in like a lion and out like a lamb. Today is the 2nd of March, and there was wind howling and all kinds of crazy stuff starting last night, actually. So it was very, very living up to that name in that lineage and that reputation, if you would, where they, you know, highlight the lion part of it as the wind's been terrible. Apparently, houses have been damaged and everything else around my neck of the woods. It's like a war zone with just Mother Nature wreaking havoc upon its creations. So there you have it. But So he goes in like a lion, so it comes in really ferocious. And then by the end of the month, it's kind of like get this almost the beginning of spring. Sometimes it is spring, and you got the theoretically. In most normal areas, you would have like the sunshine and rainbows on those nicer areas. Up where I am, you can't really bank on the weather. The one thing that's consistent about the weather is its inconsistency. One of the well-known sayings around here is if you don't like the weather in New England, just wait a minute, it'll change. And then talking to other people from different other parts, I'm told that this is a very common expression to other places too. So it's not just here that has that wild weather. Up here, I mean, you could have, it'll be a bright sunny day and 60 degrees out. And then about 10 minutes later, it's tender, it's hot, it's annoying. The snow is coming down. The best is when the sun's out, it's like warm out and the snow's falling. That's the best because as random as that is, these are things that happen a lot. So, and then it goes from rain to snow to hail. And, you know, the weatherman, I got to say, that goes, just, I mean, it can't be just here. I think everyone has the argument with the weatherman who's always wrong. You know, imagine getting paid big money just to guess what the weather's going to do in the morning. I feel like even though they have the equipment, they got the schooling for these things, I feel like, you know, there's still no way that they're going to, be able to, you know, guarantee the weather because just they don't know. And it's clear they don't know. They can have all the bells and whistles. In all honesty, I always find it the best way just to stick your head out the window in the morning is the best way to do it because look at the sky. That's how I usually judge it. If it's going to, if you have like a pinker during the winter anyway, if you have like a pink tinge to the sky at night, then most likely it's going to be a warm day in the morning to the next day and pretty delightful. But if it's a darker blue or a dark sky at nighttime, then it will be a storm the next day or there will be rain coming the way. And let me tell you this too, the fact that my knee, due to my years in sports or whatever, has become a antenna for bad weather. So if it's going to be bad weather, I usually know ahead of time because my knee hurts quite a bit. So there's that. That was the wife, ladies and gentlemen, for her contribution. Wasn't that lovely? Anywho. So that's some fun stuff, but I guess that goes for everyone's weather. You never can judge by the weather, but the weatherman gets paid the same regardless if he's right or wrong. Imagine if you had that job or your job, you were allowed to, you know, do nothing or guess it'd be completely wrong and get paid the same. Imagine. Anyway. Imagine if doctors went by the same thing, the same kind of they go through all these years of school and medical training, and they say, well, you might have this, and then it turns out not to be this. And how many times have we heard in the past that that's even happened where a doctor has diagnosed someone wrong? Did they go to the same school as the weatherman? Anyway, let's see. So, as far as movie reviews and whatever this month, movies and television, I did actually have a few movies. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pick a movie that's going to be, let's see. I do watch quite a few things for you guys, and then by the time for me to do these reviews, it's like, hey. But one of the things I wanted to review, wanted to tell you guys, is that I always find it kind of disappointing when I hear of a movie that has been out for a short period of time or whatever that has been hyped up to an extent where you need to see this movie, and then when you finally see it, because everyone in the movie in the world raves about it, but when it comes time for you to see this film, you miss it. You don't get whatever everyone else is seeing, and that's kind of the feelings I've been getting with some of these films. I'm not picking on anyone, but I don't remember the name of the filmmaker who did Midsommar or Hereditary. But they're both by the same person. And I've seen Midsommar. My wife likes it. I didn't like it. I thought it was kind of bland and also done before. And I actually watched Hereditary because everyone in the world says how fantastic it is. I have seen many, many different horror movies over my time, and I've seen many different things. I love low budget. I love independent horror. I love movies in general. But you know what? I'm not seeing it. It had great potential. I love Toni Collette in anything. Money is Toni Collette. Toni Collette is one of the most underrated and underused talents in Hollywood. If I could get Toni Collette, she wouldn't be a mediocre role. She would be the starring role. I find that she's the go-to mother in everything because she knows how to get it done. She's a fantastic actress with a very wide range. I really love Toni Collette's work. She's probably the best thing that came from Hereditary, if you want to know the truth. Because I was not overly impressed with Hereditary, but I finally got to see. But I do have another film review I have to give you. I just remembered what I wanted to give you. And I got to thank some people. Now, this is going to sound interesting. And actually, this is a tip for those people who, if there's a movie out there and you have a feeling you're not going to like it or it's not going to be as enjoyable, I would suggest trying to see if Riff Trax, the former guys who do the Mystery Science Theater, do a version of it. Because I feel like when they're doing their commentary during the movie, I find that sometimes enhances the movie that I'm watching and sometimes makes it tolerable. So I watched a movie called Dreamscape. Everyone's heard of Dreamscape, right? All right, Dreamscape was with Dennis Quaid and a few other different people from back in the day. This is set in the 80s, I think. It's set in the 80s. You know, Dennis Quaid, a very young Dennis Quaid, Dennis Quaid is kind of I guess he's a psychic apparently, and he can go and grab people in the dreams of things, and he can, you know, manipulate dreams apparently. And the whole idea of this movie, trying to do this without spoilers, but then again, the movie's been out since forever. And it's always available somewhere. It is a cult classic. This is what it's also dubbed in the quotations. Well, I've seen this cult classic, finally. And I saw it in Riff Trax form. So first of all, I want to thank Riff Trax for doing that for me because it made it a little easier watching it. Because the dialogue was cheesy. And I think it's on the list of like one of the most worst like editing jobs ever in movies. And it doesn't really have a great like history in general, but if you're going to watch a movie like that, I think Riff Trax is probably the best one you can do as far as that goes, because I don't know if you're familiar with how Riff Trax works. they got people who watch the movie along with you, and they do kind of what you do in your head, or sometimes some people do it out loud, where they make their little comments to make it better. And it's funny because a lot of the things they say, I'm thinking, and I find it very enjoyable when they're doing that to these cheesy movies or the movies aren't so great. And I think what people need to understand is it's more for people like that. You know, people who aren't maybe people who I think one of the good things about it is if you like the movie, then it makes it even a little bit better. But I honestly think it's better to watch it if it's a movie you don't like, because they're basically going to enhance your feelings for it. And they're paying along with you for doing so. Also, Roof Tracks has a I'm not sponsored, by the way, by Roof Tracks. Just want to point that out. I'm just telling you that this is a way I have found that's tolerated watching that Dreamscape for the first time. And it's another one of those movies that is older that you put on the back burner. There's always that list of movies, you know, someday I'm going to watch this. Or there's a lot of those movies where you might be surprised at someone who's not seen who loves movies. But then there's people like me who finally get to see these movies and then tell you how it is. And then it might not go so smooth. Much like me telling people who like Hereditary, hey, to each their own. Same thing goes for Midsommar. If that's your thing, by all means, not my thing. I didn't enjoy either one. And it wasn't, you know, because of scariness or the creepy factor. I've seen creepy movies, a lot creepier. It was just, it didn't do anything for me. Midsommar, I feel like I've seen it many times before. It was bright, very, very bright in color. And, you know, I feel like it massaged certain parts of, you know, different things and stuff like that. There's a movie I'm going to be checking out. I'm going to see if the wife will watch it with me. It's a documentary. It's on Prime. And I'm going to watch it at some point, probably tomorrow. And I'm going to review it for you guys. It is a mockumentary. I said a documentary, but it's a mockumentary. And what a mockumentary is kind of like it's a documentary, but only like as if something was put in real life. Like, for example, the one I'm going to watch is called No Man's Land. And before you know, people out there who are old enough to remember what they are, it's not a dirty movie by any means. What it is it's reality that is set that when women basically became empowered. And that men can no longer reproduce, only women can reproduce, and that the world is only powered by women themselves, starting in like 1952, I think. And what it basically follows is this one gentleman who's 35, I guess he's 39, and he is the youngest living male alive. And basically, it's set in present day. And it's basically how, you know, how things would have been if women were in charge of everything and whatnot. Now, I'm watching this. I'm not going to look at from it in the point where, you know, is this good or bad? And I'm going to look at this very objectively, of course. And there's another one that I watched called United States of USSR, I think it was called, where it was – what would life have been like if the South had won the Civil War? That was a very fascinating documentary. Sometimes it's interesting to see what the perspective would have been. But I feel like even I haven't seen this movie yet. I feel like it's going to end with everyone has to be equal, I think is what the end message is going to be. Because, you know, women, I don't think women can reproduce without male sperm. I could be wrong. But we'll find out. I'm going to see if the wife will watch it with me. I doubt she will. But I'm going to offer it to her. I'll let you know if she's going to watch it with me. But I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to let you guys know what I think after I watch it. Just because sometimes it's good to have some of those, you know, open things. And a lot of people like to, you know, comment and watch these movies that are actual, you know, barn burner movies. You know, all these movies that are in the theaters and everything else. But there's all these documentaries that no one ever gets to see. So why not do some stuff that is off the radar that maybe people should pay attention to? I'm also going to watch one called Shaming, which is basically about people who have been part of the Amish community, who have left the Amish community, and their choices for why they left, and also, you know, their lives, what their lives are like now after they've left. I think that's going to be semi-interesting. If those people who don't know, I'm someone who I believe in the F4L. That's what I believe in. I don't want someone to tell me how to feel, how to think, who to love or care or pray for. No one's going to tell me how to worship if I choose to worship. I think whatever floats your boat should be the way it goes. And I'm not going to be one that's going to be badgered over my head to confined to a religion in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to be the F4L. I am the F4L. I think what's sad is the misconceptions people have with certain beliefs. And basically what it comes down to is other people's religions, cutting those religions down to make theirs look better and theirs look worse. There's absolutely no better example of that than like Christianity and Wiccan religion. I think that coming from Massachusetts, not far away from Salem, I can tell you that I'm sure a lot of the people, you know, unfortunately back then, there weren't people who weren't educated back then as much as they are now. There weren't a lot of voices back then during the Salem witch trial, but there was a lot of bias, which is still existing in this world, and there was a lot of religious wars. Now let's look at, you know, why were the witches burned at the stake? It was due to the religion, the bringing in Satan and all these things. If you actually look into the Wiccan religion, it actually has nothing to do with Satan. There's nothing to do with that at all, actually. And there's a lot of, if you actually look at the Wiccan religion, it's more about celebrating the nature and praying to the earth and the life and the whatnot. My wife or my daughter might be able to explain it to you guys better at some point, but for the most part, it's a very peaceful, religion, and it's more about giving praise to the earth and the life and the nature and the energies rather than, you know, some mythical creature that we don't know about. It doesn't talk about, there's no book that'll sit there and tell you, you know, these are the things you do and don't do. There's a lot of myths on what a witch is, what Wiccan is, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions for that. And I think it's unfortunate. I think like the Amish thing, the Mormon thing, there's so many of these different religious type cult type things. I don't feel it's a healthy thing. I think it's very constrictive. I think it's cool to do what you want to do for your own self, your own family, but don't force it upon other people. And I'm interested to see how this movie called Shunned is going to go about an Amish, you know, the Amish people who have left the Amish, you know, faith and the lifestyle. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, stepping back to the 50s or the back in the days, I think there's no better example than the Amish. You know, there's no electricity, no running of anything. You know, they consist of, you know, all the old school things and strictly religion. And there's a lot of things that you don't get to hear about in the Amish community, how strict they are. And same thing goes for the different other things you hear about. I myself don't confine to anything. I am me. I am F4L. I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and I was forced to go to church every Sunday. I was always had questions nobody could answer, but they wanted money for me answering the question, or I'd get yelled at for asking the questions that I wanted answers to. So I just decided, since you can't answer my questions, and I have a strict policy that seeing is believing. Do I believe that things happen for a reason? Yes, I do believe in karma, and I believe in, you know, those types of things, but I also am not, you know, naive. I believe in evolution. I don't think Darwin's completely out of his mind. I think there's too much scientific evidence that shows where people come from. And if most people do the research and they can see how other creatures have adapted over the years, then, you know, this religion thing can have a thing. This is going to be an episode. Holy cow. Anyway, don't listen, folks. Don't take everything I say to heart. I'm not saying not to worship however you want. Just don't force it on other people. That's all I'm saying. And be respectful of other people's wishes. I say go out there, and if you want to practice your religion, whatever it is, practice your religion. But don't force it down people's throats, and don't, you know, make people uncomfortable with it, because then you don't, it's not worshiping. Now you're trying to control, and that's not what that's for. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But yeah, those are some movies I'm going to be reviewing, and I'm going to give you guys some input, and I'm going to be blunt and honest like everything else I am. So, let's see, pro wrestling news outside of my show. Who knows? I don't know. So apparently, shenanigans everywhere. Who knows? So apparently, Drew McIntyre, who was the champion for a year on Raw, lost the title to The Miz at the Elimination Chamber, cashed in the briefcase that he manipulated from another guy who he didn't think deserved to have the money in the briefcase. I think this is a case of karma, because the guy who swindled the guy who... Okay, first of all, let's backtrack this. For anyone who wants to feel bad about the story arc or feel bad for The Miz, this whole thing started because a guy won the Money in the Bank ladder match, which I believe was the wrong thing to do anyway. But regardless of that, they put the gave one person the briefcase, and I guess they decided, no, we don't want to do it this way. So they swerved to the left, and The Miz ended up, because The Miz is the best at being a jackass, pardon my language. I instantly don't like The Miz just because I don't like The Miz. That's my own personal thing, so I think he's got that. It's a little bit different than my feelings towards like a heel. I feel that The Miz puts his family at risk. He's one of those people that puts his family, his kids, and everything else at risk way too much by exposing way too much online. And I, as you know, is very protective of my family. And a lot of the wrestlers who are like that, Matt Hardy is another one, even though my wife is a friend of his and whatever. But I personally have an issue with, you know, showing too many things to like young kids on social media and stuff like that. You don't know who's on and what they're doing when they're seeing these things, and I'm just not for it. And The Miz is another one of these people. I think he's a person who wanted to be in the movies, couldn't get in the movies, went into the wrestling thing, and, you know, he ended up on The Real World, wasn't his thing. He's a wrestler. He's got the reality show that I don't watch, because I don't watch any reality show. I'm definitely not going to watch one with a wrestler I could care less about, and whatnot. I'm not impressed by The Miz, and The Miz apparently, you know, manipulated to get this briefcase from Otis was the name of the character that lost, I'm sorry, the person who lost the briefcase to him. Prior to that, Miz had his, you know, his storyline girlfriend moved to another show, so he couldn't be around him, and he, coincidentally enough, got moved to the same show as the woman. That's fair, and, yeah, some shenanigans. Miz ended up going for this briefcase, winning the briefcase due to the fact that Otis's longtime partner at the time, storyline, Tucker, turned on him. Ever came of either one of those storylines, by the way, which is another reason why I'm not watching. Now, again, these things I'm telling you are just from what I am understanding from people who have watched these things, and my wife watches these things on a regular. So I'm aware of what's going on in the world of wrestling. It's even though I'm not watching it, because it ended up happening apparently on Monday. I guess Elimination Chamber, Bobby Lashley helped The Miz defeat Drew McIntyre. Oh, actually, Drew McIntyre, after a knuckle-biting fight with whoever in the Elimination Chamber, Lashley came out after losing the United States title and attacked him. I guess we're, you know, people are supposed to forget about prior to that, he had a conversation. Well, MVP had a conversation with The Miz, which no one heard. And out came Bobby Lashley. So I don't know why anyone would be surprised that The Miz would be coming out, who cashed in his briefcase to finally defeat Drew McIntyre. The end result was then Bobby Lashley, this last night, defeated The Miz after The Miz ran away with the title several times, wasn't ready. His stomach was in knots, apparently, at one point. Needed more time. And then he tried running away, and then it turned into a lumberjack match. Finally, Bobby Lashley ended up defeating The Miz for the championship. And that was a great job with that briefcase, Miz. That was a great job holding that title for all of the week. Hope it was great for you. Got some great pictures for your social media and your reality TV show that no one watches. I don't anyway. No real wrestling people do. And there you have it. Bobby Lashley is now the Raw champion, which is probably going to set up the rematch between Lashley and McIntyre, I'd imagine, at WrestleMania. I'm going to guess is probably where they're going to go. I don't know for sure. Who knows? Who cares? And apparently on the flip side of that, on Monday, on SmackDown, apparently the champion is still Roman Reigns, who's been Roman Reigns. And, you know, working up the Edge thing. And Daniel Bryan now working into this picture somewhere. I'm calling nonsense again. I don't think that Daniel Bryan needs to be anywhere near the title, especially since he says he wants time off. Apparently he wants some time off, so just give him the time off. Don't put a title on him. Put him in a title picture. Have him had a match once in a blue moon and see you later. That's a part-time schedule. I think they have enough people on the roster that you don't get to see that maybe their time should come. I'm sure there's people on the SmackDown roster who would much rather have some airtime than watch, you know, Daniel Bryan, who apparently would much rather be at home. I say send him home and let someone else step up. But then again, I'm not watching, so I don't know. I don't know who they have on SmackDown anymore. I know they did the brand split. I mean, can't we have another Bianca Belair match? They're trying to push her. Apparently she's going to face Sasha Banks. It's interesting. Both of the people who won the Royal Rumble both chose the SmackDown champion and not the Raw champion. Does this mean anything? As I put a question mark in people's heads. Anyway, AEW is doing AEW things apparently. Pushing whatever. Looking to see about this video game stuff. As you guys know, that we use a lot of the video game software for our show. A little glimmer of hope is that apparently there is a game called Retromania. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. Actually, then again, I've looked into it, and apparently there's no creative character, so I don't think our show would work on that platform. That's an update I can give you guys. Until they have that type of thing in that app platform, that probably would be something I couldn't actually use. However, we're waiting to find out any details or releases as far as WWE 2K22, and the AEW game, which has been promised since forever, that hasn't come to light yet either. I'm guessing the company could very well be out of business before. If AEW continues to do what they're doing, they're probably going to be out of business before the game even comes out. Then it's going to be kind of like ECW, where they put out the game, but it was just too late. The bleeding is already out. And that takes a lot of pain, because I loved ECW. That's where I got my start, actually. But, anywho, you know, these are the things you reflect on, and these are the things you look at when you're watching wrestling. As far as our show goes, we know we have a show on the 4th, and the 14th, and the 24th. Now, I have to make this announcement. If you missed our show, what my son and I had said on Saturday, again, we announced the Hall of Famers for our first induction, which every year, We're going around the same time. We're going to induct those people in the last weekend of February. We're going to induct the next class. We're probably going to limit it to maybe a tag team, a female, and a male superstar. So a combination of four, as fours are the lucky numbers. We had a bigger class this year because there were people who deserved to be in there who don't need to do anything anymore because they're just, well, they're icons in general, but because there's only so far you can go. I mean, Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson, they started the whole craze to begin with. So they had to be part of the first class. And then you also have Ozone, one of the first women warrior wrestlings. People have not even forgotten about Mother Nature herself. The walking condominium, some people, the female walking condominium, some people have called her, but she is the Mother Nature. She represents all of nature in unknown places, unknown. So there you have it. But, you know, the other people involved, Supergirl, as my son was nice enough to induct her, as she has done her part in becoming part of the roster and building up the superhero genre. Of course, I'm sure down the road there are other females who are worthy to do that. Wonder Woman, of course, comes to mind. Captain Marvel, She-Hulk. So there are plenty of other women who are going to be going to the Hall of Fame over the next few years, as long as we can. And what we're going to be doing, as I announced, is every year we have an arena we're going to be building that's going to have plaques. A lot of them will be open, but we're going to actually raise the person or the group's image to the rafters as a way to pay homage. But also, one of the biggest downfalls of wrestling Hall of Fames is the ongoing joke within the wrestling community is, well, where can we go to visit this Hall of Fame? Well, we're going to take that up a notch because we're actually going to have a arena that's going to be featuring our Hall of Famers, where we're going to have that every so often. We'll have maybe the big shows in the Hall of Fame. So that's something very exciting. So in other words, in this class, for example, you'll see images of the Horror Connection and those I just mentioned, and Bruce Lee, the Dragon, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And in the years to come, we're going to have open slots that those images will go up as well of those next inductees. As we feel that that is the best way to pay homage and tribute to the people, by having something where people can visit it every once in a while to say, hey, this is where we can be. And also, for our characters we're currently using to aspire someday to become part of the rafters, because that's what you want to do anyway for these things, to become part of the Hall of Fame. So there you have it. So that's going to be very exciting. And I'm going to be working on that very shortly. We should be able to break the ground and have our first glimpse of the Jazz and Sons Dream Masters and Warriors Hall of Fame arena and show. That will be probably debuted on the March 24th show, our last show of the month. We're going to debut that, in case you didn't know, and my birthday is the 23rd. So the very next day on our show hits, you'll see our brand new stadium and with our Hall of Fame. So that's my birthday present to you guys from me. So there you go. Should be cool. As far as tomorrow's show, the fourth show, March 4th. I can tell you some of the matches already have been signed as a sneak preview. As a spoiler alert, I know that the Awesome Ones are going to be in tag team action, and we're going to be seeing we're going to get our first viewing. And our first, the newest member of the Awesome Ones, Kamino, is going to be making his in-ring debut, teaming up with his longtime friend and leader of the Awesome Ones, Shap Awesome, as they're going to be taking on the returning team of Power and Glory, a.k.a. Brains and Brawn, for if you know from the past, but Otherwise, they are known as the Hulk and the Thing. They have the power and glory. So it's going to be a huge tag team contest. And if you want to make it a name for yourself, then no better place to make a name for yourself than taking on a team like Power and Glory. Chap Awesome has had a history with said people, so it wouldn't be his first rodeo. He could definitely do so again. I guess in his corner will be another member of the Awesome One, Stan the Man Lee, and what role will he play considering Hulk and the Thing are his creations, but he's part of the Awesome Ones. We'll have to wait and see. Also signed for the fourth, the Women Warrior Wrestling F-World Icon Tag Team titles on the line as we're going to have that rematch as Laverne and Shirley going to be defending against the former champions, the Squared Circle Cafe, Daria and DJC. So that should be interesting. As the Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Also, the Women Warrior Wrestling Champions first title defense, St. Peggy Hannon is going to be defending against the Irish folklore legend herself from the hills of Ireland, screaming all the way down. The Banshee makes her in-ring debut against St. Peggy Hannon. And just like that, and speaking of which, paying homage to the Irish heritage and so forth, stepping into the Minty's Challenge on the 4th will be the first person, I should say, stepping in there is going to be Lucky the Leprechaun. We don't know much about Lucky the Leprechaun, but we know he claims that luck is on his side. So we're going to find out as Minty is going to invite him to take his challenge. Also in action will be the Super Heroics challenging the current reigning tag team champions, Sleepy Bear and Triple D, also known as the Viking Juggalos. The Super Heroics, of course, making up the team of Lion Daniels and Andy Walken. Nathan Blair, the third member of that trio, he's got other plans that night as he's going to be part of the four-way main event for the F4L Icon Championship. As he will be, he along with Jackson R. Scott, Jackson R. Scott. It is Jackson R. Scott, Nathan Blair, both every man for himself against the current reigning F4L Dream Masters Icon champion, Shaheen Blue, who is undefeated to this day. Still. And also in action will be a six-man tag. You guys don't get to see a lot of the off-air stuff, but some bad blood has been stirred up with Little Sweet and the OK Thank You Boys, but also a debut of a very popular duo who have spawned many people has made their return, or debut rather. And of course, that's Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the South Park Rangers, who are teaming up with Little Sweet to challenge the OK Thank You Boys to a six-man tag. That should be very interesting as well. I know that OK Thank You have been really dominant in the six-man tag team range, and they're, in fact, the ones who retired the Hall of Famers, the Horror Connection, Fred Jay and Michael Myers. So, I hopefully Trey Parker, Matt Stone and company are not biting off more than they could chew in their debut. But we all know they like to push the envelope. We're going to find out what envelopes they push as they make their debut against the OK Thank You Boys. Also, the F4L Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix Championship on the line as the current reigning champion, Leo the Bull Curtis from the UK, defending his title in the MMA rules match against United States' own Carter Stritzel, number one contender. The last month, Leo had an issue with Carter's brother and just was able to squeak by after a dominant display in a dominating tournament. Carter has earned the right to challenge Leo and has been on a roll. So Carter Stritzel goes one-on-one with Leo the Bull Curtis for the F4L Dream Masters MMA Grand Prix Championship. Whew. Tell me any of this doesn't sound good. This is a very stacked card, folks. There's not a lot of There's nothing going to be boring about this show at all. We're also going to crown the Women Warrior Wrestling icon. Sorry, the FWL Women's icon for the Social Media Championship for the Women's Warrior Wrestling. Much like Ames McNamara, who is your champion for the Dream Masters. For the record, due to the fact that Ames had a very grueling matchup with Michael Fishman, his co-star, he is going to be off the show to give him a little time to recuperate, but he will be defending his championship for the first time on March 14th, ladies and gentlemen. So that should be very, very interesting. All right. So that's all coming up on our show on the 4th. Is going to happen. We're going to 8-9 matches. Going to be all solid. Anyway, that's how we do things here. And of course, for this show, for this podcast, I'm going to be back here again on Thursday for Throwback Thursday, where I'm going to look at my life through music, and we're going to kind of do this experiment. I challenge you guys to do something similar. I want you guys to go ahead and. Yeah, I mean, if you're good with music, you don't necessarily have to go to the length that I did. But however old you are, pick a song to represent each year each year of your life representing that year, and see what you come up with for your own life soundtrack. I often used to joke to say that our world is stuck in a recurring infomercial or reality television show. Kind of like EdTV or The Truman Show. And more often than not, music comes into play a lot in my life anyway. So I'm interested to see what you guys come up with. And maybe on Thursday, maybe some of you guys can call in and check in with us. Maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we won't. Friday will be coming up. And we're going to be talking about an event that I would normally be getting ready for. We're going to have a tribute and a look back at Monster Mania Convention, as we're going to talk about, I'm going to share with you guys my first time going there, get some highlights, and talk to you guys a lot about the Monster Mania Convention, and maybe have a few of the friends from there stop by to share their thoughts. It's been so long, and unfortunately, we would normally get ready to do that show. We're going to have to wait till May, I believe, and that's okay as long as we get to go in May. And, hey, if we can get Dave Hagen, the promoter, or Doug, or any of those people on, that'd be great. But in the meantime, we'll have to get some more people. I know that McNeezy, the local rapper from Charleston, Mass., we're going to hopefully get him to come on the show again and talk about his upcoming show in Worcester that has been rescheduled to March. So stick around, folks. We got plenty of things. Also, I'm going to be entering my very first. I kid you not. I'm going to be entering my very first PlayStation-inspired Mortal Kombat tournament via the online thing, I guess. So we're going to find out how that goes. I'll let you know how that transpires and whatnot. So wish me luck. I haven't played a Mortal Kombat tournament since I was about 15. I did one years later during Mortal Kombat 9. I won that too, actually. But regardless, we'll find out how I do against complete strangers from all over the place. Apparently in the Northeast anyway. So, all right, folks, I know that I have some minutes left and I know about I have an hour, but you know what? What else is there to chat about? I mean, we reflected, we talked about my upcoming birthday. We talked about what's coming up. We talked about music. We talked about celebrations. We talked about film and television reviews. I talked about some things I'm going to be watching. We talked about upcoming conventions that are coming up. And I'm told, here's what I'm going to throw out there, Joe, just say that. I just was told that apparently, from what I'm understanding, by neck of the woods, they're allowing concert venues to open up and allow people in at 50% capacity. And I'm wondering, for those people who are in the entertainment community, how that would affect them. And does it affect them? Yes, you have a live crowd and whatnot. But how does that work with people who have tickets? Are you only going to have 50% of the tickets available for the building? Or is the first 50 people who come get to go in? And what do you do about the people who have tickets who can't get in? I guess if McNeese comes out, we can ask him, because he's one of those people who are going to be doing a live show. But with all these upcoming shows and people going back to doing things, which quite frankly, I can't wait for. And my prediction is whoever does the first live show that has actual people there, I think they're going to do a really good killing. They're going to bring in a lot of money because people like myself who've been hunkering to do something, anything outside of the house, you know, I think that's going to go over huge. And I think it's going to sell quick. I would suggest that open air venues should probably be something you should probably look more into rather than these closed places. But I mean, clubs is one thing. I'm sure you can regulate that. But like, if you were to have like Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, like our, you know, Bigfoot stadiums rather than little arenas right now, I think that might be able to save your music industry by bringing those people to those kinds of places. You could fit more people outside, hopefully, and you could spread out a little bit better usually too. And outdoor shows are usually pretty good too, that's weather permitting, of course. But that's the last little bit of the thing. I know things are starting to come back to play. I can tell you that the minute something happens, I'm going to be there. As of May, I am planning on going to Monster Mania as well as my family. I was waiting word. And once we get the green light and we start seeing this sort of thing, we're going to be going. But on Friday, we're going to be chatting about Monster Mania as we'd be getting ready to go down. And yeah, so fun. I'm really going to try, by the way, next Friday, I believe, going to be when Monster Mania would begin. And I'm going to try to get Dave Hagan or one of the Hagans to come on that day, because that would be the day for them. They'd be probably going around with Chicken's head, the head cut off, getting the last things together. And I'm going to find out from them what that's going to be like for them, where this year they're not. They're going to have to postpone until May. We'll have to find out. Anyway, folks, I'm going to let you guys get doing your thing. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I am your host, the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Thank you very much for joining me. And may all your dreams come true. And we can now leave the F-World headquarters together. Peace, everyone. May all your dreams come true. Peace. Bye.